Mike's getting the microphone back there for me, and I was just going to tell you a little bit about, I'd called Timmy the other night to talk to him, my cousin, and I called him a little bit before 8 o'clock, and we got off the phone at 12 o'clock at night. Timmy likes to talk. And we started talking, and Timmy knows the Lord, Mark, I will tell you that. And I don't think you could live with Uncle Wally and not know the Lord. Uncle Wally was, he loved God, and he definitely would, he was sort of like Mother. Before I became a Christian, I used to drive to work with Mother, and she'd be talking about the Lord, and I'd be driving, but I'd be scooting closer and closer to the door because I hadn't given my life to the Lord yet. And I'd be thinking, boy, I wish she wouldn't say all that stuff. And she'd tell me, because God had met me miraculously in some ways when I was younger and stuff, she would tell me, she'd say, son, don't get too entangled in the world. Someday God's going to require things of you. And I used to think, oh, I wish she wouldn't say that. But you know what? She was right. She was exactly right. And the thing with Timmy is he told me, he says, you know, they call me Junior. He says, you know, Junior, he says, Dad poured a lot of things into me, and he explained a lot of things about Scripture to me. He says, but I don't have the ability, I know them, but I don't have the ability to share them, you know, to verbalize them. And, you know, I was thinking about a visitation that I had with God one time. You know, God showed me a lot of things from the time when I first got saved, many deep truths and stuff. But I didn't really feel like I had the ability to share them with people. And one time I felt like I was supposed to stay home from church on a Sunday night. And I went in the bedroom and I just laid on the bed and I just kept saying, Lord, I praise you, I praise you. I was just praising the Lord. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm loosing your tongue. And from that day forward, I've gotten to the place where I can verbalize and explain things. And also another time, and God has a way of letting you know he's the one in control. It's not you. And also another time, I felt like I was supposed to speak at the mission, I believe it was, and I kept going in and praying before the Lord. And the Lord said, son, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. And I thought, okay. And I kept asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it? And he didn't tell me. And I came out of the room where I'd been praying, and I went back in the room, and I started praying again. And I said, Lord, what is it? And he still didn't tell me. And I went out of the room, and I went back in later on, and I said, Lord, what is it? Third time. You know, God does a lot of things in threes, you know. And I said, I felt like he said, the simplicity that's in Christ. And from that day forward, the gospel got simpler and simpler and simpler. It's not real complicated. And I mean, we make it complicated sometimes, but it's not very complicated. It's basically, if you wanted to roll it all into one thing, it's believing in the Lord and trusting in him and letting him lead and guide you every day. I mean, that's the basis of the whole thing. You do that, I don't care if you know how to explain things or don't know how to explain things or whatever, you'll be okay. If you just do that little simple part right there. Now, the sermon I'm going to share with you today, I actually was going to share it a couple weeks ago, and my back was too sore from this. I told y'all I had the snow back, which I did. And Clyde stepped in for me, and I had said something to him on a Saturday night. I was at the volleyball game where Sammy hurt his ankle, and I felt really bad for him hurting his ankle because they know he loved playing that volleyball. But God has a way of sometimes he wants you to sit aside and maybe even just spend time talking to him or getting quiet and talking to him or whatever. But anyway... I said something to Clyde. I said, "Well, I thought about calling you and seeing if you'd speak tomorrow." I said, "Because I don't know if my back's gonna be good enough, because it would get okay, and then I'd move in a certain way or something, and then boy, it hit me again, you know." But anyway, so Clyde decided to speak for me last Sunday morning, and I so appreciate that with such short notice and everything. But God, and Clyde came in, and he told me, he said, "The Lord gave me something." And I said, "Okay, that's great." But anyway, this is what I was going to share with you last week, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't get a chance to share it, because the Lord opened it up even more. And the title to the sermon today is kind of a weird title. The title to the sermon today is, "You Are the Ball." Okay? You are the ball. And, you know, I had seen this, it was sort of like a joke. I won't really say it's a joke, because it's not necessarily funny, but it's just, but anyway, I'll read this to you. And then I'm going to talk to you about it, because the Lord started opening this up to me. And anyway, Jesus, Moses, and an elderly-looking gentleman were golfing. This is a golf story. Moses stepped up, hit a terrible shot, and the ball heads straight for the pond. Moses runs up to the water. God parts the water. Moses hits the ball onto the green. Jesus says, "Nice shot, Moses." Jesus walks up to the tee, hits his first shot. The ball lands on the water, but it's on top of the water. Jesus walks onto the water, hits the shot, and it lands on the green. The elderly-looking gentleman was just taking all this in. He steps up to the tee, and he hits what looks like the worst shot of the three. It goes about 40 yards. A huge wind gust pushes the ball all the way onto the pond. It sinks to the bottom. A big fish leaps up out of the water 3 feet with the ball in its mouth. A bird comes out of the woods and grabs the ball right out of the mouth of the fish, flies 325 yards down the fairway, drops the ball on the green. A squirrel comes out of the woods, nudges the ball into the cup for a hole in one. Jesus turns and says, "Nice shot, Dad." Okay, it's kind of funny. It's a joke, but you know, I was looking at that, and I felt like the Lord said, "Son, I'm going to show you some things out of this little joke here." Okay, and the first one is Moses. He hits the ball. It lands on the water, on the pond, and sinks to the bottom. Moses is a type of the law. And I want you to know that if you try to do everything in the law, you're not going to be able to do it. You're going to sink to the bottom. And you know, God has to part the water, and he has to begin to part the water so that the ball can come up out of the water. And when the ball comes up out of the water, up out of the law, the legalism that's even in the churches today, then the ball can land on the green. Well, then the next thing is that Jesus goes up to the tee. He hits the ball, and the ball lands on top of the water. And the water is significant of the water of the Word of God. And I got news for you. When Jesus begins to take you to the water of the Word of God, it's going to be on top of it. It ain't going to be down at the bottom. It's going to bring you up to the top. Then he hits the next shot, and it ends up landing on the green. Well, then the old guy, which I'm going to call him the Ancient of Days, okay, he gets up, and he hits a shot, and it only goes 40 yards. Now, I've given you all things that tell the significance of numbers in Scripture. And 40 has the numbers of trials, probations, and testings. And I got news for you. God's going to take you one of these three ways in your life. And sometimes He takes you through trials, probations, and testings. And then the next thing that happened after that was a gust of wind, a big heavy wind, began to blow the ball forward. And the ball lands on the water. And it sinks to the bottom. And you know, sometimes, even when the Spirit of God and the wind blowing like that, what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were in the upper room. A great mighty wind came in. What happened when God created man? What did He do to make man come to life? He breathed into him the breath of life. And Scripture says that word for breathed, He breathed into him, is to exhale violently. So He didn't just go, He went, and He breathed into man the breath of life. So, but the ball still sank to the bottom. And sometimes when God begins to reveal the word to you, it gets heavy. And sometimes you feel like you sink to the bottom and you feel like you fall so short of it that you just don't know what to do. But I tell you what, sometimes God prepares a great fish. And just like He did in Jonah, he prepared a great fish. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. God told him to go there. Sometimes you don't always want to do exactly what God wants you to do. But I tell you what, He can prepare that great fish. And Jonah made the statement of when the fish grabbed him that he was in the belly of hell. That's how bad it was in that fish. But you know what? In this, the ball didn't stop there. The fish jumped up out of the water 3 feet. Now, three is the number for resurrection, divine completion, and perfection. And I got news for you. Until we come to the realization of His resurrection, had He not resurrected from the dead, the gospel would be of no power. Because the resurrection was where the power came into the thing. And, you know, but the resurrection and God's purposes in the resurrection was to bring divine completion and perfection into your life. You being the ball now. 3 feet out of the water, the fish jumps. A bird flies up, snatches the ball out of the fish's mouth. You know, when you talk about a bird a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever seen a lot of the churches will have birds because it signifies the Holy Spirit. And and we know that the name of this church is Wings Christian Fellowship. And we know that was the original name of this church when it was actually named as, it used to be called Elmwood Tabernacle at one time, and then it became Wings of Deliverance Temple. And we know that the wings that we refer to is the wings of prayer and praise. And Isaiah, the 40th chapter says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So that bird flew right in there and took that ball right out of that fish's mouth. And then it flew all the way to the green, 325 yards. Now, I was looking at that number 325, and I said, okay, Lord, what are you trying to talk about 325? And if you don't think God inspires all this stuff, He does. The word for three again is the word resurrection, divine completeness, and perfection. The number 100 is election of God's grace, children of promise. And you know, God knew exactly what He was doing. And 25, literally has the meaning of forgiveness of sin. And he not only forgave your sins, a lot of times we in the church have a tendency that we tell people, well, God's forgiven your sins. But that is, it isn't just involved with the church. It said he forgave the sins of what? The whole world. The whole world. We need to start telling him, you've been forgiven. The sacrifice has been paid. You're okay. You just have to acknowledge and receive what he's done. It's already been done. It's accomplished. It can't be done any greater than what had already been done. So there's your 325 feet there, okay? So he drops the ball onto the green. A squirrel runs out of the woods. And you know, I said, well, Lord, how would a squirrel fit into all this? And I felt like the Lord said, son, how many times have you driven down the road and had a squirrel run out in front of you when you were driving your car? And I thought, well, a lot of times. And what do? You move and you try to keep from hitting that poor little squirrel, because you don't want to kill that squirrel, you know. But you know, the only way to be sure that you're not going to hit that squirrel, because it can be going in this direction and all of a sudden it can turn and go back this way, you know, and they do that a lot. But the only way to be sure that you're not going to kill that little squirrel is to stop and be still. And the Lord said, you have to learn to be still and to know that I'm God in all situations. And I don't care what kind of squirrely things come into your life. You have to learn. And there's a lot of squirrely things come into your life, you know. And I tell you, you still have to know that you have to get quiet and still, you know. And I was thinking of Isaiah. No, it wasn't Isaiah. No, it wasn't Isaiah. It was, can't think of his name right now. But anyway, where it was the prophet, Elijah. Yeah, I'm there you go. My brain ain't working real good today. It was Elijah. When Elijah was out in the wilderness because Jezebel was after him, going to kill him. And he was saying, oh God, I alone am the only one left. How many times you ever said that? God, it's only me. Nobody else is having the same problems I'm having. Oh yes, they are. Sometimes way worse than what you're having. And what did God say to him? He said, I've maintained 7,000 that have not been to their knee to Baal, you know, to the false idol. And he told him to go on and that he would speak with him. And he went up into this cave, and God allowed this big storm to come by and this fire to come by and all these things to come by. And he said, and God wasn't in none of them. He said, and then there was a still, small voice, and that was God. And you know, we have to learn to be still and to know that he's God. And when we get still and know that he's God, guess what happens after that? The squirrel nudges the ball and it goes into the hole. And what is that called when that happens? A hole in one. And I want you to know that God wants us to know that we're being made whole, that we might be one in him. Praise God. Now, that's all I had to share with you. But I wanted to share that little supposedly joke. But it didn't end up being a joke. As I started looking at it, God started telling me all these things. I started thinking, well, Lord, it's not really a joke. It's three facets of life and three ways that you deal with the church and three ways that you deal with us. You know, a lot of the church, he deals with them out there on the realm of legalism. And boy, they're legal, buddy. If you don't comb your hair a certain way or have a certain kind of clothes a certain way, or you know, you can't really know God. You know, I hate to admit this, but I had an aunt. She was old-time holiness person, and I don't knock anybody. I say however you know God, that's fine. As long as you know Him, as long as you realize Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I will tell you one other thing about those guys that hit the ball up on the green. There had to be one more putt. And that one put the ball in the hole, which made how many strokes? 3 strokes. First, went down to the bottom of the water for Moses. It had to be, God had to part the water, okay? He had to start moving that legalism out of the way. It went up onto the green. Jesus hit it up on the pond, stayed on top of the water. He hit it again in this joke. It went to the green. But I'm going to tell you what. Until, what was the old saying they used to say? Clyde, I know you know this because we play golf, and Mike, you know this. You drive for show and you do what? Putt for dough. That's where it all comes down to. You can't putt, you're going to have a high score. And that was one of my problems when I played golf. I didn't do the other stuff that good, but my putting wasn't very good. I might end up putting 4 or 5 times after I got up on the green, depending. But you know, but when you realize that being quiet and still will be what will put the ball in the hole, put you into the wholeness of God and being made one with Him. Praise God. Okay, well, that's all I had to share with you today. God bless you. And if anybody has anything they want to say, you're welcome to say it. Yeah, go right ahead. Just a second. Let me come down here so we can put it on the tape. Okay.
You might throw me into prophetic mode. Every time I hear that the scripture that you talk about, and you've been talking about it all day, be still and know that I am God, my heart says to me, and you ain't. I'm not. And that's why the perfect law of liberty is total submission to Him. That's where the peace comes from.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anything you want to say? Ed?
Oscar, we got to remember, and I don't know if the Lord wants us to remember, but to know that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Right.
Now, him and me used to have a lot of conversations about people say, well, when my spirit does this and my spirit does that.
They were making a separation.
Yeah. You were dividing yourself against God.
Yeah.
There's only one spirit, and he's the spirit. He has made you his home, his dwelling place. And when we agreed to that dwelling place, we became one.
Right.
Anyway.
And it, you live inside of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I'm going to tell you.
Right.
I believe that.
Right. Well, see, the thing is if you want a scripture for that, go to Ephesians. There's one faith, one baptism, one spirit.
Right.
He didn't say there's two. We make it into two because we separate ourselves from God. And not realizing that when God breathed into man the breath of life, he was breathing himself into man. Now, Adam, you know, he became a living soul. And yet what happened with Adam was, is they ate of the knowledge of good and evil, you know. And because they ate of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, they separated themselves. Because all of a sudden, What was the first thing they said when God came and talked to them in the cool of the day in the garden? They said, well, why were you hiding from me, basically, God said to them. Because we were naked. Who told you you were naked? See, they weren't naked as long as they were clothed with the knowledge of the presence of God in their life. But when they lost that knowledge of the presence of God in their life, then the nakedness of the flesh began to show itself. And I'm going to tell you what, the flesh is an enmity against God, the fleshly nature. It can't know the things of God. It don't want to know the things of God. It only wants to satisfy itself. But thank God that he's dealing with that. He's going to come us all, bring us all to that place of becoming one with him. Jesus, when he prayed before he was crucified, one of the things that he prayed, Father, I pray that they might be one. You and me and them. And what did he say? Then the world will believe. You can send out 900 million evangelists across the world, but until the body of Christ begins to stand up as one in Christ, the world isn't going to believe. And, you know, Scripture says, and you know, I quote the Scripture a lot, and some people probably say, you quote Romans 8 chapter an awful lot. I'm going to tell you what, Romans 8 chapter is one of the hearts of the Scripture. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It says that he was the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, many brethren. That's you. You know, there's a principle in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, to a certain extent, of the secondborn son receiving the blessing. What did Jesus say? He was the firstborn among many brethren. What did he say? Father, the what? Glory you've done what? Given to me. What did he do with it? I've given it to them. Secondborn son. Just like the what I said about Joseph when he took his two sons before Jacob. And Jacob was blind. Scripture said he was blind. His eyes were dim for old age. And he was real careful to put the eldest son on the right hand of his father. And he put the youngest son on the left hand of his father. You know, why was that? So that firstborn son would get the blessing, you know. But what did Jacob do? He put his right hand on the youngest one and his left hand over on the oldest one. And Joseph even said to him, not so, Father, not so. You know, you're making a mistake here. He says, I know it, my son. But the Scripture said he took him in front of Jacob, but Israel beheld him. Israel. And let me tell you what, the one that he put the right hand on was Manasseh and Ephraim. He put his right hand on the youngest son, which was Ephraim. Ephraim means dual fruited or double portion. Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these, because I return to the Father. And I'm going to tell you what, we haven't always seen the greater works, but that day's coming as we come into a fullness of really realizing who and what we are in Christ. Amen. And getting quiet and still and waiting on him and only saying that which he has us say and only doing that which he has us do. And I tell you what, once we do that, look out, because guess what it says? Rest of what it says in Romans 8 chapter. It says creation will be set free. What's creation? Isn't that everything? Creation shall be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. I heard a preacher say one time that he was driving down the road in his car, and I was wondering, he didn't wreck, but he was driving down the road in his car, and God gave him a vision. And he said in this vision, he could see the animals and everything on the side of the road, and they were crying. And he said the reason they were crying, they were wanting to see the manifestation of the sons of God so that they could be set free. Let me tell you, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says the lion will lay down with the lamb. It says that some of these things they'll eat hay. You know what I mean? And let me tell you what, that's talking about the nature of man. You know what I mean? A lot of it is. But I thought that was wonderful, that vision that guy had. God showed him. He says, when creation is set free, all of creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. But praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you, Dave. Nobody has anything else. Then praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I ask you to just Help us, Father, to learn more and more to be quiet and still and listen for that small, still voice inside of us, even to direct us, Father. Thank you that you're doing wonderful things in this day, and that we don't have to trust in man, we don't have to trust in governments, we don't have to trust in banking systems or any of those things, but we need to trust in you, Father. And as we trust in you, you're in control. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. Your word declares that. And we thank you. And there's even a scripture that says that you're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe that when you will something, it's going to happen. Yes. And we haven't seen it happen yet, but thank you, God, that it's going to happen.
Amen.
And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Keep your hand of love and mercy on the people this week, and let them even have a closer walk with you this week from henceforth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.